Hi, this is Dan Sheridan with Cross and Throne Ministries. Thanks for joining us today. We're here in Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Thanks for joining us. Open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to start reading from, Let's start in verse 7 and get the context. In whom we are having the deliverance through his blood, the forgiveness of offenses in accord with the riches of his grace, which he lavishes on us. In all wisdom and prudence, making known to us the secret of his will, in accord with his delight which he purposed in him, to have an administration of the complement of the eras, to head up all in the Christ, both that in the heavens and that on the earth. In him, in whom our lot was cast also, being designated beforehand, according to the purpose of the one who is operating all, in accord with the counsel of his will, that we should be for the laud of his glory who are pre-expectant in the Christ. Well, we ended up last time stopping short of this phrase here, pre-expectant in the Christ. One of the things we need to understand in the writings of Paul, especially his letter to the Ephesians here, we have what is known as the untraceable riches of Christ. And what that means is, you know, the modern translations say unsearchable, but the riches of Christ are searchable. We can find them. Paul lays them out for us here in Ephesians. What they are is untraceable. In other words, we can't find these things in the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, these great blessings that God has for the ecclesia, which is his body, are reserved until the risen Christ ascends back to heaven, and from heaven he reveals his message to the Apostle Paul. And these things are untraceable in the Old Testament scriptures. And these are things we find in Ephesians. And here, we read this phrase. As we point out last time, he's operating all in accord with the counsel of his will. And that means, by the way, God is not waking up every morning and wondering what he's going to do next. He's not wondering what your move is going to be. He's not up there biting his nails, wondering if you and I will pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and do the right thing. The essence of God being God is that he is the placer of all things. And God, if he didn't know and plan and orchestrate all things according to the counsel of his will, he wouldn't be God. And so that's an important thing. And it gives hearts rest in a time when evil is all around and we see believers forsaking the truth, and we see all kinds of things going on in the world and government. And it makes us realize that we have a God who is not nervous, a God who is not wondering what his next move is going to be, but he's operating. He's working all things together because he has a great purpose. And it says here, he's operating all in accord with the counsel of his will, that we should be for the laud of his glory, or applause. There's that word again. Remember, giving applause to God. To the applause of his glory. Now, we saw that phrase in verse 6, for the laud of the glory of his grace, in which he highly favored us in the beloved. Here it's that we should be for the laud of his glory, the applause of his glory, who are pre-expectant in the Christ. There, in this passage here, the laud of his glory, the applause of his glory, and he has associated us, members of the ecclesia, which is his body, with his glory among the celestials. We have a blessing that King David, Solomon, Peter, James, John, Jude, Isaiah, and all the rest, Job, didn't dream of. We have an expectation that has priority over the rest of the saints in all of Scripture. Here it says that we are pre-expectant in the Christ. Now, that word pre is the word pro in the Greek, in the word expectant for our word hope or expectation. We are pre-expectant in the Christ, as the Concordant Version reads, or one other way of looking at this word, the word pro, that we have this word pre, the Concordant Version says pre-expectant. The word pre is the preposition P-R-O in the Greek, and sometimes it has the thought of preeminence. And John the Baptist said, he that comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Now, the Lord Jesus was not born before John on earth. he has a rank higher than John. That was the point. We know that in the Lord Jesus, we have the Word, and he became flesh. He existed before his birth in Bethlehem. So when John said that the Lord Jesus was before him, he could not have been in birth, but in dignity. So there that word pro is used. So when it says here that we are pre-expectant, we could say that we should be to the applause of his glory who have an exalted expectation or a preeminent expectation in the Christ. Now, that is a true statement. You and I, friends, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, if God has given you the faith to believe, and you are brought into this great message of Paul, you have an expectation that goes before all other saints in Scripture. In Daniel chapter 12, for instance, let's just look at this real quick. In Daniel chapter 12, we're going to see a passage here regarding the former resurrection. In Daniel chapter 12, in that era shall stand up Michael, the great chief, standing over the sons of your people. Then comes to be an era of distress, such as not occurred since there came to be a nation on the earth till that era. Now he's referring to Daniel's 70th week. Now in that era, your people, Daniel's people, shall escape, and all those found written in the scroll. From those sleeping in the soil of the ground, many shall awake, these to aeonian life, and these to reproach and aeonian repulsion. And this is referring to a resurrection that will take place before the millennial kingdom of Christ. And that is an expectation that was the hope of all of God's people from the beginning, for all the Jewish people. As a matter of fact, in John 6, Martha talked about when she spoke to Lazarus, she said, I know that he will rise in the resurrection of the last day. Well, what was the last day? The day preceding the coming of Messiah, or the day of Messiah, when he sets up his kingdom as promised throughout the Old Testament scriptures. But you and I, friends, as believers, members of the ecclesia, which is his body, have a resurrection that's prior to all these. And it has a place of preeminence. In Ephesians 2, it says this regarding our present position. Ephesians 2 says, Yet God being rich in mercy because of his vast love with which he loves us, we also being dead to the offenses and lusts, vivifies us together in Christ. In grace are you saved, and rouses us together, and seats us together among the celestials in Christ Jesus. That, in the oncoming eons, he should be displaying the transcendent riches of his grace and his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Right now, you and I, as members of the ecclesia, have a position far above all. Here in this passage in Ephesians 2, right now, we are seated among the celestials in the person of our Savior. He's there right now, and positionally, you and I are in Christ, there, where he now sits. And in the coming day, when we have our resurrection, we receive our resurrection bodies, we will actually physically be there. And what is he going to do in that day? It says that in the oncoming eons, that's the thousand-year reign of Christ and the new heavens and new earth, those are the last two eons, in the oncoming eons, he should be displaying the transcendent riches of his grace and his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. We have transcendent riches. Transcendent riches of grace. And in the coming eons, the millennium and the new heavens and new earth, he's going to be showing them to wondering worlds, to the wondering creation. David's going to look on us members of the body and say, what blessings they have. Truly, they had an expectation that was preeminent to ours. Well, friends, rejoice in this position you have in Christ. And this is one of the great things in Ephesians 1 through 3. It lays before the members of God's ecclesia of this era, the ecclesia which is his body, lays before them their present expectation and their calling. And we are to walk worthy of this. Meditate on these passages, keep studying, and until next time, remember his transcendent riches of grace.